Have you ever thought of this verse? Whenever you read a scripture, meditate on it and you'll find something interesting. John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Not because you meet in a church, not because you carry a Bible, not because you hang a cross around your neck. No. People will know you're my disciples by the fact that you love one another. Now the question I want you to ask is, when you read a new commandment, you ask, is this really a new commandment? Isn't it there in the Old Testament as well? In fact, when somebody asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, somebody asked him in verse 36, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus gives the answer from the Old Testament, Matthew 22. "It is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." And he says, I can't stop there. You asked me only for one, but I cannot tell you about only one, because it's like a coin which is something is printed on the other side too. And if nothing is printed on the other side of a coin, it's a fake. So he says, I have to tell you the second side of it also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself is one commandment. And that is the answer to what is the great commandment in the law. So, God already gave that commandment in the Old Testament to Moses. You must love your neighbor as yourself. That includes everybody. Then, how is this a new commandment you read in Matthew, in John 13:34? A new commandment I give to you. This is a new covenant. That was an old covenant commandment. In the old covenant, they don't have to love their enemies. They only have to love their neighbors. But Jesus taught us to love our enemies as well. But here he says a new commandment at the end of his earthly life. He tells them at the Last Supper that you love one another. So he's talking about a love among the people in disciples, among the disciples, which is to be greater than love for others outside the church. And also, it's a new commandment in the sense, in the Old Testament, the commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment is not love one another like you love yourself, but love one another like I loved you. That's how it is new. So what does that mean to love one another in the church? Let's start with our family and the church. How did Jesus love us? In the love that Jesus had for me, there was a cross on which he died to show his love for me. That's how he demonstrated that love. It was not in words. It was not by helping us financially and healing our sicknesses. In fact, many of God's children struggle financially. They don't have enough sometimes. And many of God's children get sick and die of sicknesses. So it's not by giving us money and healing. That's the way we show love to people. But Jesus' love for us was not shown in giving us a lot of earthly gifts. Or you say we love people by visiting them, praying for them. That's not how Jesus showed his love for us. He showed his love for us by the most costly way possible. He died in order to save us. He died entire life. He died to himself so that he might never sin and thereby offer a perfect sacrifice. So when it says about loving one another as I have loved you, the command is that in your love for others, you must be willing to die to yourself. And I want to say to you, it's a very high standard. Your love for others in your family must be one where you don't think of yourself and your needs first. You die to yourself and love your wife. You die to yourself and love your husband. That's the ideal family. Not where they smile at each other and give gifts, etc. Jesus' standard is you have to die to yourself. In his love for me, there was a cross on which he died. In my love for my wife, there must be a cross on which I die. In your love for your husband, there must be a cross on which you die. And in your love for one another also, there must be a cross on which you're willing to die. And if you're willing to die, you won't get offended. Why is it so many people get offended? Even in the church I've seen. I've seen people who are, I'm thinking of a number of people who were in this church and who have left. The moment they leave, they forget all the good we did to them through many years. And they only remember the one word of rebuke or correction. Isn't that amazing? That all the good that was done to them for years and years and years in the church, they completely forget in a moment. And all they can remember is one rebuke they got. That shows the utter selfishness there is, and it's a good thing, I say, it's a good thing that such people leave the church. Such selfish people who can only think of, they want to get and get and get and get, it's better they leave. Because Jesus said it's more, love is something that gives, not keeps on getting. So that's a good question to ask yourself, who are still sitting here and who haven't left. Have you forgotten all the good things you've received in the church? You can only think of certain corrections you got or certain rebukes you got. Are those the uppermost things in your mind? It's not a question if somebody asks you, of course, you'll say, yeah, I got this, I got this. But what's in your mind? Are you disturbed when you're corrected? Like I said earlier, if you've never heard a word of correction from the Lord, you've not heard God at all. You're fooling yourself that you're listening to God. If you have never heard a word of correction. So in the love of Jesus for me, there was a cross on which he died to show his love for me. That's one part of it. And the other we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. How does Jesus show his love for me? Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love me? He laid down his life for me. He died on the cross. I must be willing to lay down my self-life. That means if somebody speaks to me harshly, I just die to myself and say, okay. Maybe he was in a moment of pressure, that's why he said it. I make some excuse for him so I don't blame him for speaking in that rude and crude way to me. I say, maybe he was under some pressure, maybe he's had a bad day, and therefore he was under some tension, and that's why he spoke in such a sharp way to me, which I'm surprised, but I'm not going to say that he's always like that. He's not always like that. This particular moment he slipped up. I die to myself at that moment. If you don't die to yourself, you say, he's always like that. He's not always like that. But the other way Jesus proves his love for us, in Revelation 3:19, is by rebuking us. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So, in my younger days, if you ask me, how do you know Jesus loves you? I'd say, he died for me on the cross. Look at all that he suffered. But today, if you ask me, as a mature Christian, how do you know Jesus loves you? I say, boy, he reproves me and disciplines me. And you say, really, Brother Zach, he reproves you also? He says, sure. Many times I hear his rebuke, correction, because I seek to listen. I never want to stop listening to what the Lord has to say to me. And it's not always encouragement and you're doing great and you're a great guy. He does say that sometimes, but as reproof. That was wrong what you did. That word that you spoke was unnecessary. It was wrong. And your attitude to that person is wrong. I thank God for that. It's a proof of his love for me. And if some brother is kind enough to tell me the same thing, I think that's a proof of his love for me too. Those whom the Lord loves, he rebukes, and not only rebukes, but disciplines. I've experienced discipline from the Lord. And I ask the Lord, I've never questioned discipline because I know that's a mark of his love. In my younger days, probably I didn't understand it, but I know it clearly that one proof of Jesus' love for me, love one another as I've loved you. He disciplines me. Because I love my children, I discipline them. And if I have a responsibility in a church as an elder, I have to show my love by reproving and disciplining. Otherwise, I'm not a good elder. Otherwise, I hate people. That means I see them going astray and I won't correct them. I say, let them go to hell. No, I love them. I have to reprove them and discipline them. They may get offended and leave the church. Well, that's up to them. But I can stand before the Lord in the final day and say, Lord, I did my part. I loved them by reproving them and disciplining them. Maybe they didn't listen to me. Maybe they got offended. They accepted all the words of encouragement and nice words I said about them. But when the moment a little correction came, they got offended. That's between them and the Lord. But I did my duty. Please remember this, that God's love is not a wishy-washy, soft type of love that just gives us gifts and tells us nice words. He lays down His life. And I'll tell you this, sometimes I've had to lay down my life when I have had to rebuke somebody. It's not easy. If you're a good father, you don't find it easy to discipline your child. You have to lay down your soft feelings and die to that and, you know, punish your child. And it's like that. Many times I've had to reprove people and it's been very, very difficult, and I had to think about it, pray about it, long to God before it. And I say, oh, I've got to do it. See, it's that type of love that will build this church. Love one another as I have loved you. So, dear brothers and sisters, don't get offended when the elders in the church seek to love you as Jesus loved them by reproof and discipline. Because they are doing it for your good, just like Jesus does it to us for our good.